Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Daily Tips That May or May Not Help You. This is our special guest interview with the January Tipper of the Month, Anjali Bamani. I'm Ned Donovan. Over there is my co-host, Ariel Nissenblatt. And Anjali,
hey.
Welcome to the pod. Thank you so much for being our Wednesday guest tipper this January.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for inviting me on. My brain was just like exploding trying to think, because there's so many fun things. I've been around for a long time. I've been on this planet for a little longer than maybe many of your listeners. And so I feel like I have all of this wisdom to be like, ooh, learn this from me so you don't have to learn it the hard way like I did.
Well, that's why we do this interview portion, Anjali, because it's time to pry those little tips that maybe didn't make the five that made it to the airwaves out of you.
Bring it. Love it. Let's do it.
I mean, let's kick it off. For me, obviously, you and I have known each other through the world of tabletop gaming. Many people who might be listening to our pod right now know you from Overwatch and other voice acting gigs. As I said to you not so long ago, my obsession is Mary Zimmerman's Mary Zimmerman's Metamorphoses.
You got it.
I did it. Which I believe you were on Broadway for. Yes. And so it all kind of starts at, like, where does it begin? I believe you told me once you're from Southern California. Is that math
yes.
right?
I was born in Cleveland. And then right before I turned four, we moved to Orange County and I was raised there. And then I fled Orange County when I went to college. And I went to Chicago and studied at Northwestern in Chicago. And I got a theater degree there. And then because, you know, people told me I had to have a fallback, I was like, I don't really want to have a fallback because I'll fall back. So I'm just going to get another certificate in musical theater. That counts as two things, right? Sure. Because that's a great fallback, musical theater from theater. So the very first audition I did when I graduated from college was an audition for Mary Zimmerman, who actually taught at Northwestern, but I had never met her there. And it was an audition for a play called Mirror of the Invisible World. And I ended up booking that, and it became the beginning of a beautiful collaborative friendship. And since then, Mary and I have done 18 productions together.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. One of which was a play called Metamorphoses, which was her adaptation of a bunch of myths from Ovid's Metamorphoses, and it was set in a pool of water. We did it in Chicago, and then we did it at Berkeley Rep, Seattle Rep, and the Taper. And then we went off-Broadway to Second Stage, and then on-Broadway at Circle in the Square. There was time between all of these. And, you know,
that's a lot of that's a long stretch of getting in a pool of water, Anjali. But
oh, yes. Oh, it certainly was. I should do a whole separate month of tips for people to how we have to deal with chlorine, because believe me, I've got all the tips.
A question I have for you, Anjali, is you said you've done 18 productions with Mary Zimmerman, which in the world of theater means you've done 18 productions, countless performances, if we were to add them all up. So my question is, with that long of a creative collaboration, but it doesn't need to be creative. This is really a question for anyone who's ever worked anywhere or with someone for a long time. How do you keep that working relationship fresh? How do you constantly revitalize over the course of however long to keep a good working relationship that never gets stale and always feels fresh and always stays creative and forward?
That is such a beautiful question. And I think I am going to answer. I'm going to figure out the answer as we go, because there are a lot of different aspects of my life that I'm going to pull from. So at this point in my career, I pride myself on the fact that I have cultivated a career where we're all so busy that the only way I get to see my friends is if I work with them. So I just find a bunch of ways to be able to work with my friends. Now, working backwards from that, I and my husband both have this, what we call the 16-hour rule, which is, all things being equal, if I'm going to work with someone, if there are two different people, all things being equal, which one is the one that I actually want to hang out with at the end of a 16-hour day? You know, who is the person that is, even when they're stressed out, even when they're tired or whatever, who is that person who can still maintain a level of kindness and professionalism and respect and all of that stuff? And I think that right there, the sense of wanting to do right by the person next to you, how do I make sure we all are together and we are okay? How do I make sure I've got other people's backs? How do I make sure I say to the audience, I got you. You're going to go on this journey, but you're going to be safe in your seats while I do all the heavy lifting. So that sense of collaboration and that sense of purpose to be of service, not just to yourself or the play or the writer, but to really be of service to the people around you and in the audience. I think that makes a big difference. And then being willing to know, like, when you have to let someone go from your life or when you have to let a relationship go from your life. Because I think a lot of collaborative relationships struggle when there's the whole sunk costs fallacy, where you feel like, well, I've worked with this person so long, or I've been in this relationship with this person for so long, or I have this friendship with this person for so long, even though it's gone downhill, I feel like I have to maintain it. I have to maintain it. After a certain point, you have to decide when something is draining you or when something is feeding you. And it's a sad truth of life, but I have discovered it the hard way over and over and over again, whether in romantic relationships or career relationships or, anything really.
Well, yeah. Thank you for being here to give us that insight. I have been wondering, when Ned first approached you about giving tips on a show called Daily Tips that may or may not help you, what was your reaction? And do you have a relationship to like life hacks and things like that?
So my reaction was, genius, why didn't I think of that? Because I actually do have a show, a web series called I Am Fun Size, which is sort of about life. It's life lessons that I have learned and the way I have coped with things through life. So it's not exactly hacks per se, so much as stories from my life that may help people through specific times. And so people have asked questions and I shared those. So tips and hacks and stuff like that, I am constantly, I'm constantly working to try to make my life easier. I admit it freely. Deep down inside, people may think that I am like super busy and super go get 'em, and I am, but deep down inside, all I want is for it to be easy. And because the easier more things are, the more cool things you can do. There are a bunch of things we make hard that don't need to be hard. And so when you are getting all of these individual bits of experience from people, because you guys are bringing on guests and offering all these different tips and tricks, I think it's just fantastic because I'm constantly looking for those myself. So if I can share some and we can do that as a community, I love it. I absolutely love it. So yeah, I'm a big fan.
So yeah,
I was excited.
Well, so then Anjali, career-wise, we went through the theater side of the world, which is like stereotypically our coast, the New York side of the world. But you and I know each other from the Los Angeles side of the world. So what was kind of the transition for you to go to the other side? When did you end up being more in the TV film world and how did you get there?
So I started going back and forth between New York and LA probably in about 2007, right after doing another Mary Zimmerman production in Chicago. But I started going back and forth between the two, and then I stayed put in 2010. So I stayed in LA and stayed with my family and decided then I was going to like ask LA what it wanted from me. Because I think a lot of people come to LA or go anywhere kind of with this sense of like, what are you going to give me, city? LA, show me what you got. But I was much more interested in like, what do you need from me? Yeah, yeah, I'm going to work. Yeah, yeah, I'm going to do all of these things. What do you need from me? And as soon as that happened, I met the most extraordinary community of artists and dreamers and incredible human beings who were creative in all fields, mostly because I didn't care what anybody did. And I didn't care. There was no sense of like, what are you going to offer me? Or how is this relationship going to be opportunistic? It really was just, ooh, who are you? And what are you excited about? And how do we get it for you? What do we do? What do we do? And then it was just a series of like, oh, you're going to let me audition for that? Okay. Basically not discounting myself before I did the audition. I can probably count on one hand the number of times I've turned down an audition because I didn't think they would. There's no way I'm going to get this. Like, sure. I don't let that be the excuse to not do the audition. Even if there's no way I'm going to get it, if it's something that I would want to do, I'm going to do the audition.
Well, then my next tip question from you is, how do you approach a day that you absolutely can't bring yourself to do it? Right? Like, this industry doesn't wait for you to be ready. You have to figure it out. How do you get yourself to a space where today's the day you're going to do the thing?
This is going to sound really corny, but I swear to God it's true. And based on the stuff that I've said so far, hopefully that will align. It's not about me. It's about the person who needs to see what I'm about to offer. It's very much about, I have seen too many times, I've heard from too many people, how a performance or a show or a playing a video game or hearing a voice or reading a story or reading a book has changed their life. And if I don't get out of bed and make the thing and do the thing, then there may be someone out there. It might just be one person, but there may be someone out there who doesn't get to have that experience. It's not up to me to judge whether it's good. It's not up to me to judge whether it's right. 9 times out of 10, when I think my audition sucks, or I shouldn't say 9 times out of 10, it's changed since then. But a lot of times when I think I've given the worst audition, I'll have booked it.
This to me is so eye-opening because I have no idea what goes on behind the scenes of actors. Beyond, I know Ned goes to a lot of auditions. You know, he's got to pop into the city for auditions. Mm-hmm. I don't know shit otherwise. So this is just very cool for me to hear. And it's also cool how you've formulated all these life hacks that are obviously related to your profession, but also go beyond.
Well, something, Anjali, you and I talked about when we met in LA, and it's something I hope you take as a compliment, but you're of the humans in my profession that I know, you're one of the people that I know that has a very well-rounded life, which is not always true for us. And I'm curious about your non-artistic life and anything from how do you make your scheduling of the week to go to the grocery store easier to like, what is it that you do to fill your soul that has nothing to do with art? Like, what do you, what is your non-this
yeah.
life?
My non-this life is as chaotic as my this life because I have very little forced structure in my life. Like the only thing I know for sure is going to happen every day is that every day I'm going to need to make sure that my dog is walked and fed and cuddled within an inch of his life. Everything else can happen at any given moment. Everything else can have to change at the drop of a hat because of an audition. So the first thing in my personal life that I have had to make sure is there is flexibility, is just the willingness to kind of like be okay with change, which for me is really hard because I resist change. I naturally resist change a lot, but I also get bored really easily. So if I try to create too much structure, I will rebel against it. Now, my husband is a touring musician and a producer, and so we lead very similar lives in different professions. And so when we first met and when we first started dating, there was sort of this built-in understanding that at any given moment he was going to have to drop, he was going to have to fly off on tour. At any given moment, I was going to have to fly off and shoot a show. So work always came first, but we also knew that that didn't mean that work meant more to us than the other person. It mm-hmm. was just a practical thing. And I think that that is a very difficult thing to ask of anyone, particularly if they are not in a profession that has that same kind of unpredictability. So that flexibility, that willingness to accept that nothing is going to stay, things may be consistent, but they won't be the same. And again, this is going to sound super cheesy, I know, but like making sure I follow the fun and follow the love is really the only rule. And to me, love is paying attention. Am I really engaged with the people across from me, or am I looking over their shoulder? And when I'm spending the 5 minutes I have to spend with my husband or with my dog, am I focused on them or am I somewhere else? Also, if I don't have stuff outside of my career, or rather, if I don't have, I like to diversify the way you diversify your financial portfolio if you're a good investor. If I don't diversify my happiness and diversify my creativity, then inevitably, when one thing inevitably is not going well, If I don't diversify, that one thing is going to wreck me.
Here's the tip. Diversify your happiness. I love that.
But yeah, exactly. And I talk about this. I teach a course called The Hungry Artist, which is all about eliminating the myths of the starving artist, but really clocking the truths of the hungry artist, because we all need to stay a little bit hungry to be creating. We all need to have a little bit of a fire inside us. If we're too comfortable, then we're probably not going to do a whole lot of creative stuff. And one of them really is diversify your creativity. If a global pandemic didn't teach you that, then a strike did, then something else. You know, if you don't have other ways to be satisfied and fulfilled in other aspects of your life, it's very, very difficult, at least for me. Some people can handle it, again, with that single-minded focus and that grit and that willpower. I need a little more help than that. I need a little more love and I need a little more support in my life to be able to pull that off.
Well, then I have One last question for you, Anjali Bhamani. You've talked a lot about change and flexibility and never knowing what's coming next. But for you, Anjali Bhamani, what are the three things that you would call constants? Do you always get the same cup of coffee from the same place? Do you have anything you hold to strict routine in order to give you the space for that flexibility?
I don't go a single day without telling my husband I love him. And preferably telling more than my husband. Like there's not a single day I go without expressing my love for him and other people. Sorry, my phone is on and I don't know why. That's not a strict rule. Honestly, usually my strict rule is that this is on do not disturb because there's too many notifications. What else? Gosh, that's such a great, I strictly always put my key on the key hook or I'll never be able to find my keys.
Crucial. That is an Ariel Nissenblatt tip from year one.
No, seriously. And this is another thing, like, and this is not a strict thing, but this is a thing that like, let yourself off the hook. If something is hard for you to do, do as many things as you can to make it easier. If it is hard for you to get yourself to get out the door and go for a walk, put your shoes right by the door or pick someone to go with you or make it easier. There's no reason things have to be hard. There's no medal for working harder. There's no medal for I did the hardest thing. So so for me, I guess it's not a very tangible or measurable thing, but I have to have fun. I have to have fun at least in one part of my day, whatever that is, even if it's just choosing my mug. There's got to be something. And then, yes, the dog. Like, my dog is my heart. So it is a very, 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 very strict thing that he's got to be taken care of. That is a given. That is a constant. I don't care where I am in the world. I will make sure that he has been walked, he has been fed, he's been snuggled within an inch of his life. Those things have to happen.
That is a phenomenal way for us to finish up this interview. Anjali Bhamani, do you have anything going on here in January that you might want to tell us about?
You know, I do. And everything that I have going on is under NDA. So I can't tell you about any of them. Actually, I take that back. Coming up soon. I cannot tell you at this time what the specific date is. But I do know that in 2025, the game Sunderfolk is coming out. And I'm super excited about it. Sunderfolk is a role-playing game that is sort of reinventing game night with your family. You use a screen and your telephones. It's not, you don't need a console, you don't need anything like that. It kind of bridges the gap between tabletop role-playing games and tabletop games and video games. I have played the Game Master in this, which means I am the voice of the Game Master and the voice of all of the non-player characters that you will meet in this video game. So love me or leave me, you're stuck with me. So that is coming out in 2025. I just can't tell you when. Because I don't know.
Keep us on our toes.
Well, Anjali, we have put all of your links and whatnots in the show notes of this episode. We thank you so much for joining Ariel and I on Daily Tips That May or May Not Help You. It has been a joy. We've got a bunch more tips coming this month because she is our Wednesday Tipper of the Month, Miss Anjali Bhamani. Ariel, do you have anything that I'm missing in this awkward outro that I'm trying to figure out in real time?
Did we at the beginning say our names?
I don't know.
I believe you did.
Let's say it now. Ariel, Ned, Anjali, done. Let's roll that exactly as it
that
is.
That was beautiful. Print it.
This is how it's made.
You know, that's how the magic is made.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.